Morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Let it breathe a little bit. Or did I jump it? I can't remember now.
I've only done it
like a thousand times. Let it breathe. 12:05. I wrote this down on the way, and it's a cold, kind of crappy Monday.
I wouldn't say cold. I would say crappy.
All right.
Just crappy.
Welcome to a crappy Monday.
The wee chilly.
It's a little wee chilly.
Jacket weather, Chuck, and it's late April.
It's sweatshirt weather. Okay. Do you want to debate this? Let's do it right now.
Let's debate it. Jackets or sweaters?
Jackets or sweaters. And when you text in with your response, you must put your age on there. 855-282-8255. That's an old Strickland carryover from the old days. He wants to know how old everybody is that's listening at this particular time.
Let's also do Dan Patrick style. Let's
put
do
your
age, height, weight, political affiliation.
Who you voted for?
Marital status.
I thought you were trying to find, thinking that there'd be a distinction between how old you were and what article of clothing you'd be wearing in this weather. Like if you would expect older people maybe to lean towards sweater and younger people to lean towards a light jacket. I am younger and I'm wearing a light jacket.
Even the word jacket, I believe, is sort of a dated
What's it called now? Coat?
Coat.
Coat?
I was sitting on the Davenport and I realized I needed
a jacket.
A light jacket.
Welcome aboard. Obviously, we got a lot to get to. Questions of the day. Has Carpenter walked yet? Has Votto walked yet? What about this at the All-Star game? Instead of the home run derby, you just have Carpenter and Votto have a walk-off derby.
That'd be fun.
And just taking pitches, squeezing the plate zone. In fact, Votto, I think, could replace the computers. Like, his vision...
He should be robo-ump.
He's robo-ump. Like, he decides whether it's a ball or a strike. Instead of having umpires, you just have Joey Votto do that.
What was the old line about Ted Williams? If he didn't swing,
it wasn't a strike.
That's basically Joey Votto, except for the fact that he's really struggling early on here.
By the way, have the Reds lost yet today? I don't think they have. At 3-18, we'll check the pace that they're on. It's right there, the 2003 Tigers, the 1988 Orioles, who got them a little bit by losing those first 21 games.
I was looking up some stats earlier today.
Stats.
It was for fantasy baseball, but I read something very funny because obviously, Cardinals 7-0 against the Reds. We kind of wonder, what can you draw from this?
Correct.
I was looking up Junior Guerra, this pitcher for the Brewers, and I read an article where two starts ago, he had a nice start against the Reds. And the article basically said, well, Junior Guerra was good, albeit against the Reds, as if like the Reds don't even count as a real game.
Isn't that terrible, though?
Everybody, but it's kind of true.
Everybody feels obligated to sit. Now, Mike Shannon, who obviously has been around the game forever, I always point out, sure, he'll have a malaprop here or there. He says something funny. He's wildly entertaining.
The last one wasn't exactly a malapropism.
Yeah. And then it was innuendo. Then the paper corrected and said it wasn't innuendo. It was an actual thing.
But they never told us what they thought the innuendo was.
It was fine because
which
it was
I'm
hilarious.
Still really curious.
But the point is that beneath all that, Mike knows the game inside and out. And I've used this example before, but it was late in 2016, one of those final games they had to win. And during the broadcast, he's like, Jerko's too far back at third. He's too far, but they're going to lay one down. Like the next pitch, somebody lays a bunt down for a hit. He's like, I told you, get him up close. He always kind of knows what's going on. And when we're talking about the Reds, he said yesterday, he said, they're not going to be this bad for this long. And it's not just baseball speak, but he said, they'll get it turned around somewhat, some way. Not saying they're going to win the division, but he's saying better to get them now before they get it going a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to win 90 games, but I think his point is right now, while they're really scuffling, beat up on them right now. Because maybe the next time you see them, they've had a little bounce. I mean, Tampa Bay was what, like 3-12, and then they've won 5 of 6. So there could be a little bounce at some point. So I think Mike's right. Play him now, and you're better off.
I agree. Votto, struggling. Eugenio Suarez, very good third baseman, out. Schebler was out. So I think they are going to be really bad, but it's hard to be this bad. 3-18 bad, that is historically just awful.
Correct, correct. So the Cards get the sweep, and I think we put it out there. Would you accept 2 out of 3? And I think Frank said on Friday, no, I can't accept that.
Now,
like, that's
now
not good enough.
The
that's
rest
not...
of the season, if the Cards don't go 19-0 against Cincinnati, I'm going to be disappointed.
Wow. Questions of the day. What day is it? It's not Tuesday for Big Walt. Is Waino on the DL? The answer is yes. Interesting scenario now on Saturday because you could bring Jack Flaherty up, Chuck.
But do you need to?
However,
off days?
He's due to pitch. Did we say Wednesday or
he's
Thursday?
He's due to pitch Wednesday. That would be his day.
Okay,
and
so they have
seriously
to hold him back.
Enough, Memphis, their website, does not list a starting pitcher for Wednesday's game.
So you could get the Flaherty return. Let's say he pitches and pitches pretty well in Pittsburgh, question mark, on Saturday. Then obviously he's got to go back.
And it's just too much success.
I can't
have that.
I cannot wait for Flaherty to pitch Saturday and to have a shove start, and then all of a sudden he's got to go back. I guess they could get cute and give Gomber a start or something like that, but I would think it's probably Flaherty.
But look, I do like the fact that the Cardinals are being aggressive with the 10-day. If any of their starters has even a tweak, put them on there. You can manipulate rest and off days. They only really miss one start. Bring up a fresh arm, whether it be a bullpen guy for a while with off days. Use Flaherty. Use your depth. Use the fact that you have a really strong 40-man roster. This is what the Dodgers did last year. If you look at the Cardinals' rotation, in my opinion, the only guy you really probably want to make 33 starts is Carlos Martinez. Everybody else, you kind of want to manage their innings. So if they all get 29 starts and then Reyes ends up getting 6 and Flaherty 7 or whatever, I think that's a perfect mix.
And I'm pretty sure it was Wainwright who said it last year, that he said the Dodgers are really good at this 10-man. Remember the conversation and basically saying, why don't we do? It's kind of cheating, but it's retroactive. It's easy to do. It's not cheating. It's allowed. You just kind of hide guys that way.
But also, if you're a pitcher, over the course of a baseball season, your elbow is always inflamed. Your shoulder is always inflamed. And it probably does benefit you strategically, maybe at the midpoint of, you know, basically the quarter pole of the season before the All-Star break, to give those guys a rest for 10 days. It probably helps them long term.
I thought this quote was interesting from Dexter Fowler, and this was after the Saturday game or before the Saturday game. So Fowler was on the bench on Friday. He'd been cold, you know, in a cold spell, and then he was hitting 5th on Saturday because Matt Carpenter, and you tweeted this. It's kind of, I laughed when I saw it on Saturday morning that he was hitting leadoff because he hit in the 2-hole on Saturday, which I believe I told Ravy on Thursday. He said, well, where would you put him? I'm like, I don't know, maybe 2nd? I didn't have a spot for him, but Pham being out made it easier.
I didn't have a spot for him.
So Carpenter is hitting 2nd. And then he hit 1st. They just kind of snuck him back into that leadoff spot. So Fowler's quote about it was, I don't know the reason. The communication, ..
Whoops.
When y'all get it, I'll get it. That's the way it will go. It's all right. I'm just happy I'm in the lineup.
I go, we go.
I don't go, we don't go. It sounded a little bit like a shot. The communication, when you all get it, I'll get it. That's the way it will go. Matheny pointed out he didn't consider it necessary to inform players of every such move, which I agree. We talk to the guys to the point of over-communicating. But there's times, too, when we make a decision, you say, hey, this is what we'll got, what we've got. We'll roll. It said that Matheny may have he texted him on Friday night. I think that's fine. If he said, hey, we're going to switch the lineup up tomorrow. And also, I hope you're good with it because you're hitting .181. And Matt Carpenter, you're hitting .182.
Mix it up a little bit.
We'll give it a shot. That's the thing. Is everybody panics and freaks out about the lineup. It's fun to do. You know, you got somebody's grandma saying, how come Fowler's hitting 5th? Only in St. Louis do they just dissect the lineup like crazy. Right now, if I'm Mike Matheny, this is what I would be doing. I'd mix it up. But you had the stat of the weekend. And
well,
Frank,
it wasn't me.
I know, but Frank quoted you. I do feel sorry for your wife because Charlie's weekend on Twitter is basically him sitting in front of the TV
Disagree.
It's always like a snapshot. You've got that nice TV on the wall. I've never been to your house, but then there's kind of like some stone
brick.
You've
never been invited.
Yeah, it's Chuck like, doesn't invite us anywhere.
It's like, clearly there's like a fireplace or something, so the TV is mounted to the wall.
Beautiful faux brick.
Did you do that yourself? Did you mount it?
Oh, of course. I built it all myself.
Wow, but impressive.
Poor Jess. All weekend, I see these tweets, and it's usually a screen grab of something on the TV, and I'm like, he's just sitting around watching sports all weekend. But this was a good grab, Chuck. Okay, good grab, bad grab, good grab.
First of all, I was joking. I didn't build anything in my house. Second of all, to destroy your narrative, I watch the baby. I will. The Cardinals game is the perfect time for me to watch the baby. Tell my wife to go do any errand if you want to work out. Get out of the house. Have your own day.
Honey, the baby's crying. Can you look after it? Oh, hold on. Fox Sports and West. It's a great graphic up. I got to snap it up for Twitter.
Hey, I DVR. I freeze it. I take the graphic. Look, I think it's funny because we all go crazy about Carpenter. This was the perfect weekend with Tommy Pham hurt to kind of sneak him in there, and it's because of the injury, but then if he takes off, you can kind of just leave him there. And look, I don't want to get into this debate. I've always said Matt Carpenter should hit first. I don't want to hear all your numbers. I just think it works there. Don't mess with it. I've always thought that. But then when I saw this graphic, I couldn't believe Fox Sports Midwest put up the graphic that said since 1969, so 50 years.
So small sample size.
50 years of playing baseball. Matt Carpenter 49. Has the third. No, you'd include that season with 18. So 50 years of baseball.
Wow.
He has the third highest OBP at 391 behind two first ballot Hall of Famers in Wade Boggs, who's first at 413, and Ricky Henderson at 401, two first ballot Hall of Famers. Matt Carpenter is third at 391, minimum of 2,000 plate appearances. All I'm saying is you can point to any number on earth. Why would you see that and say, I don't want that? It's that simple sometimes.
And if your three-hitter is really good at walking, you say, that's great, but I don't want you as my three-hitter. And we said it at some point last week. At some point, you probably want Jose Martinez hitting third. So I think it makes sense. So to see it that way,
wasn't
God
that
bless.
Pretty startling?
Yes, whether it was Tim Trokey or the ghost of Brad Strominger, whatever did it.
I think it was Trokey because he liked the tweet.
Okay, because that stat was great. Wade Boggs, Ricky Henderson, Matt Carpenter. In terms of getting on base, that's what you want from your leadoff guy. If there's any dance here, and if I mean when I read that Fowler quote, and I think he is pretty happy-go-lucky, but it sounded like he was a little bit annoyed. Is that fair from reading that quote? Like mildly annoyed? But I would say I don't care. And if I'm Mike Matheny, I want to get along, but I don't care.
You're still playing. You're not batting eighth.
Right. I don't care. Yes. You were hitting fifth, which is fine. There should be no song and dance about how people feel, including Carpenter saying, hey, I can hit in other spots. I don't have to hit leadoff. You say, I don't care.
And also, my whole thing with Carpenter is I have never in my life said Matt Carpenter can't hit third. I have never said that. I've just said it works at first, batting leadoff, and until he proves that over a larger sample size, wouldn't you just keep him there?
But then how is he supposed to prove it over a larger sample size if you're not going to bat him anywhere else in the lineup?
But you're giving him what? The last couple years, 20 or so games?
He has 256 total at-bats batting third. All right, how is that enough to draw a conclusion?
What's enough, though?
400, 500
okay,
season?
With a team that has a smaller margin for error, to potentially make the postseason. Look, I understand there's a lot of metrics you can go to. Sometimes it's as simple as, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And you can say, oh, you're being a rube. You don't know advanced metrics. Stop.
A rube. That's a,
stop.
Who calls people?
Just simplify it.
When's
it's
the last
not
time?
Broken.
Nobody's ever called you a rube. If you
I'm
ever
rube
called a rube,
Toledo. You said
you're a boob.
Speak like a, you're I'm a boob. Rube.
Rube Baker was the catcher in Major League Two.
Major League Two. Very underrated character.
Cannot throw the ball.
The best Correct. Part is Fowler on Sunday walked four times and had a hit. He was on base five times on Sunday. You're like, God, those are great numbers for a leadoff guy. Oh, but he was hitting fifth on Sunday. Bottom line is, I think the lineup thing, don't worry about it right now. Until something clicks, I wouldn't have a spastic reaction.
You're going to have spastic reactions.
Every time Mike Matheny posts the lineup, people will have a spastic reaction. And I would say right now, when you got your two leadoff candidates that we think of generally are at 182 and 181, I think people should relax.
You know who should bat leadoff? The guy that right now
Molina.
Is on fire.
Correct.
Doesn't matter where he hits, on base, hitting bombs. He can be our George Springer, hitting bombs from the leadoff spot. Yadier freaking Molina.
He stole the base on Saturday
in leadoff. He's a very instinctual, smart base runner.
You see, he stole the bag on Saturday. I'm like, he's trying to prove I belong at the top of this lineup.
Let's do it.
It is funny, Martin, you mentioned spastic reactions to lineups. If you've never done this, I would highly recommend it. Whenever the Cardinals post their lineup on Twitter, just read the replies. Like, once a week, do it. It's just fun. Everyone gets angry and mad over, like, oh, why is this guy batting here? We should be batting that. And it's entertaining.
That's what's funny, though. People do get angry. I really don't get angry.
I don't care.
I just think it's
funny. You've
got
that beautiful faux brick. What do you care?
But I was feeding the baby.
You're living large, I'm saying. Oh, and also, I told you guys the other day that we finally had the answer when I'm yelling at the TV saying, give Hicks another inning. The other night at Wrigley, I'm like, just bring Hicks back. Stay out of trouble. And then Matheny explained that he doesn't respond well. I think he said it in Chicago, that they found out when they did multiple innings that he didn't respond well. So then I told you guys, okay, that makes sense. He's only a one-inning pitcher. And then on Saturday,
he pitched
like three innings on Saturday. Like, now, okay, never mind.
To be fair, he'd only thrown, what, seven pitches through the first inning and a third before the ninth inning. So it was, from a pitch count standpoint, it made quite a bit of sense.
I didn't mind it, but it cracked me up.
That was funny.
We had just said that last week.
We had just kind of declared, okay, Hicks is only a one-inning guy. I can live with that as long as I know the explanation. And then I'm like, nor not.
I think it's cool to see how they're using Hicks. You're kind of seeing it with the Brewers with Josh Hader because Corey Knebel's out. But you're kind of going back to this college super reliever closer that, you know, sometimes in college you have your starter go six innings. You just bring in a pitcher who finishes it. We saw that with Houston Street back in the day. It might be three innings. It might be two and a third. It might be one and two thirds. And we're seeing a guy like Hicks. The Brewers are doing it with Hader where he has these two-inning saves. I think that's really cool to see.
Apparently, must-see TV tomorrow would be Real Sports. Bryant Gumbel does Derek Jeter sit-down. I've seen the quotes. Have you actually had the...
I've seen the audio.
I haven't seen the video. I have also read the quotes where Derek Jeter says Bryant Gumbel is mentally weak.
I saw that clip.
How awkward is that?
They were laughing, though.
But the best quote was Bryant Gumbel brings up, you know, you should have been at the winter meetings. You traded the best player in the game, and you're in the middle of this massive rebuild. You're the new face of the Marlins, and yet you went to a Monday night football game, the Patriots and the Dolphins. And his quote was, and I didn't hear it, I just read it, but he said, well, it wasn't just a football game. We had some meetings going on. Is that like the worst? That's like catching your kid in a lie. Like, hey, what happened? We weren't at the football. Well, we were at the football game, but we had meetings. Yeah, I would have said, Bryant Gumbel, and we're all bad at the follow-up. Strick will text in and say, you didn't follow up. I would have said, what meetings did you have at the football game?
And with who? Because you're GM, and I'd imagine your manager were at the winter meetings.
Correct.
For baseball.
The clip I saw was actually put out there by guess who?
HBO.
Marlins Man.
Oh.
No, Marlins Man put out about a two-minute clip from HBO. And it was hilarious because it's Bryant Gumbel, and he did press him on this. He did follow up several times. He basically threw out the word tanking.
Yep.
And Derek Jeter laughed and said, we're not tanking. He said, I never tell my team not to win. We try to compete and win every game. Okay, we get that. But when you trade away all of your good players, that hurts your ability to win.
But you wouldn't tell those guys they can't win. And he basically, Gumbel's like, you did tell them. You have no chance. You've done that by getting rid
Correct.
Of anybody who's worth a damn.
Nobody is accusing you of having your players go up there and purposely strike out and purposely serve up meatballs to lose games. But you're putting out a AAA roster so
right.
that you can lose, have a very low payroll, and hopefully win 5 years
like
from now.
Like, if Derek Jeter put out a roster of 15 guys with a 25-man roster, then we can accuse him of not trying to win, but they are trying to lose 100 games.
I'm looking forward to that. That's Real Sports coming up tomorrow night. I also noted that the Marlins don't have Mag Sierra in the big league level, Chuck. What happened to your guy? He can't even play for the Marlins?
Wow.
And he was going to save the season last year.
Let's be honest. We all love Mag Sierra.
He was the MVP for the Cardinals.
He was very fun, especially that 7-game stretch when they were beating the Braves and the aforementioned Marlins. But a guy like that, a speed guy, doesn't have power. You're not going to start him at the corner. Is he going to be an everyday big league center fielder? You'd think he's probably one of those speed weapon, defensive replacement type guys for his big league career. That's what I would guess.
I know. I'm just kidding.
But we love Mags. He's fun.
Also, observation. Just a little housekeeping from over the weekend.
Housekeeping.
So we ended up, we're downtown, and Carson says, Dad, I've never been up the arch. So I was like, oh, we should do this.
Wow, sometime. Why do you hate St. Louis? Why are you teaching your son to despise the city?
And I started thinking about that. We always say, well, how old do your kids need to be to go to Disney? And they'll remember it all. I'm like, I wonder why. Why haven't I taken them up there? So, of course, I did what every dad would do. This was like Friday afternoon. And I said, well, it's closed right now. He's like, it's probably not closed. He's like, give me mom's phone. I'm like, no, it's.
They just redid the whole park.
I said,
area.
It's under construction. He's like, but I think you can still go up it.
Have you reached the point where you can't lie to your kid anymore?
Correct.
He's starting to catch
he
on.
He knows how to Google. He
That's
grabs
terrible.
Mom's phone and he can look everything up. And I said, well, we'll. The parking situation's not great. And so I said, but we'll drive.
Let's Uber.
I said, but we can drive by it.
Charlie will drive us just like he always drives you to all the radio events.
Okay, if he says that, you have to tell us.
In fact, Charlie will take you. Here's his number. He's probably watching baseball. Jess is running errands.
Being a good dad.
Maybe Uncle Charlie will take you.
Chuck's doing yard work, but he's really in the garage drinking beer.
So then we loop around Both. And go down the riverfront, and they've got all those bikes now where you can grab a bike, use a bike, however it works.
The green bikes are
yeah, yeah, it's kind of cool that they have this. And apparently they've already been vandalized and thrown in the river.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah.
But if you're on the front of the riverfront, the arch there, it does look nice. And they finally moved the dog and Lewis and Clark. Remember, they were always underwater, although they moved them closer to the water now, but it's been moved a little bit from the landing. But you're driving along there. There's a lot of activity. And you're like, hey, it looks really nice. And then I see a guy riding the bike by himself. Looks like a tourist, but he's just checking out the bike.
Mike Lee.
If you go too far... if you go,
he's driving to John Mabry's house.
You're
say hello.
You're in front of there. He got no gate. You're in front of the arch, but if all of a sudden then you go around the corner there, it turns into like a movie scene for like The Wire. You know what I'm talking about? If you go too far south.
That was Doug Unplugged this week.
Was it?
It was basically
Doug Unplugged.
Arch ground, really nice, go two blocks over.
Did he really say this?
That was his Doug Unplugged.
I'm telling
I hate
you.
To give a plug to another station.
No, is that a TV segment?
Yes, it's his kind of old man rant, but they're very
Is it
funny.
A TKO?
It's TKO-ish.
Are you going to file suit against
Man,
it, cease
let me
and desist?
Talk to my people about
it's
this.
Got
what kind
on?
Of rube does Doug Unplug when we've been doing the TKO?
Boob rube.
But Ooh. Is that what did they show the video? Because
Yes, he showed a lot of video.
Okay, it goes from the arch where people are visiting and hanging out and getting on these green bikes. And I see this poor guy who's clearly from out of town just riding this green bike. Dude, oh, this is beautiful St. Louis. Then all of a sudden.
You shot.
There's graffiti everywhere. And it like they've done all this great work. But then it just switches into, like, and then there's abandoned warehouses. You know, if you take a right, you'd end up at the White Castle there from the riverfront. We got to clean that up because you have all these people who are like, this is great. And literally, as soon as the arch ground ends, it looks like The Wire.
Are you saying our riverfront isn't nice? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying it is, but they got to extend it a little bit because it gets ugly.
Question on the bikes. A couple years back, my wife and I ring the bell. We were in Vancouver. They had these awesome bikes there, and we rented them. We took them all around the park, and people wouldn't throw them away or throw them in the water because you had to put your credit card number in. You had to punch in and give a credit card number. So I'm wondering
I think
what
these
it's
are
like in St.
vandals,
Louis.
Though. I mean, I'm saying the people that are throwing them away are not registering properly.
They're just basically cutting the wires, grabbing them, and going. Okay.
I don't think they even had wires. I think they're just there, but you have to swipe to use them. I'm not sure. I wasn't really clear.
See, the ones we had, they locked in. So you'd have to basically put your credit card number in to unlock them. But I'm guessing if you're a vandal, you could probably go in there and just hit the crap out of it or cut something and steal the bike, which is terribly unfortunate.
Does Doug end the, and I have not seen this, Doug Unplugged, does it end with get off my lawn?
He always says, tired, period, of, period, it. Exclamation point. No, he doesn't always say that, but that's what he says often.
I did not even know that. And then Hoff had a different experience. Shout out to Midtown. And again, driving from downtown, getting out of town, I saw the cider place. There's like a microbrew just for cider. The Midtown is kind of blowing
Midtown
up.
Is happening. My parents saw Hamilton. They saw the matinee show on Saturday afternoon. They wanted to take the fiance and I out to dinner afterwards because nice. we're trying to wrap up some wedding details and such. So
housekeeping.
A little housekeeping on the wedding. So they wanted to go out to dinner after the show because it's like a three-hour show.
I saw it Saturday night.
Did you like it?
Well, give your story first.
Did you go to Hamilton?
I did not go to Hamilton.
So you met them after
We met them afterwards, and we're like, oh, where do we go? And we thought, well, new pizza restaurant called Hugo's, which is near the Fox. What's that main street?
Olive.
It's Olive. Thank you. It's off Olive. But then right across the street in the same strip where Pappy's is this microbrewery called Center Ice Brewery. So we went there.
It's got the hockey theme.
The hockey theme. Actually, cool taps with hockey sticks. We went there for the pre-dinner drinks, talked it over a little bit, went across the street to Hugo's, had dinner there. Then afterwards, walked about a block and a half north to Urban Chestnut Midtown for post-dinner drinks. It was a delightful evening. And throughout it, a lot of foot traffic, restaurants were crowded, breweries were crowded. It was a wonderful night.
Usually that happens where the campus, like SLU expanded a bunch and bought up some buildings, that it kind of starts bleeding into the other areas. So it's been improved. But you went to Hamilton Saturday night.
I did.
Is there something, did you want to go or did your wife want to go? Because I have zero interest. Is
that
weird?
I'd like to ask real quick.
I'd rather see Billy Hamilton.
That's true. What did your parents think?
Okay. My mom liked it. My dad, I don't think he had anything against the play itself, but he fundamentally disagrees with Alexander Hamilton's philosophy, like with banking. God. So he couldn't separate.
That's hilarious.
He couldn't separate his feelings towards Alexander Hamilton and just the play itself. So I think the play he thought was fine.
Did he yell out?
He didn't yell out as far as I know.
We shouldn't have a central bank.
That's exactly his feelings towards it. He couldn't separate the two.
I'm now picturing some like really angry libertarian watching like Torah, and being like, you know what? He did amazing things for the military, but that damn Social Security, FDR.
My dad
FDR,
has nothing against musical theater. He likes musical theater, but he just couldn't think beyond. He couldn't separate his feelings of how he disagrees with Alexander Hamilton's thoughts on, say, central banking and the play itself.
Your dad might have the same mental illness that I have, where my wife sends me to get the massage, and I just start thinking about, like, the sheet industry and, like, how many you could sell if you had a contract.
And what movie the music is reminding you of.
I can't lock in on what's right in front of me and say, just enjoy this.
No, I don't want to, like, I mean, so he must have liked the end at least.
Ruin it. Aaron Burr.
I'm not trying to, spoiler, you know, alert. No, spoiler alert, you know, history, but he must like the end. That's what I'm saying.
I guess. I mean, I'm sure he knew how it ended. Chuck,
your thoughts? Did you yell any objections about his career resume during
show? I never did. I liked it. I enjoyed it overall. Couple things here. I think because Hamilton came out, I believe, in 2015, I think when you hear about a movie or a play for so long and you have such a buildup that it's the greatest thing ever, sometimes it's hard to reach those expectations. Overall, I thought it was very good. I thought it was just maybe a bit long. I thought the first act was long. With the 20-minute intermission, it was close to 3 hours.
Ooh,
I thought the second act was fantastic. The Thomas Jefferson character really emerges in the second act, and that guy stole every scene he was in. So overall, I thought it was very good. But again, I think when you build it up for 3 or 4 years, it's almost hard to achieve what you're expecting.
So what you're saying is Benjamin Hockman ruined Hamilton for
you.
Was
he in it? Because I saw the outfit.
No, but I asked him, and he said, you got to go see it. And I'm glad I did see it. I'm glad I saw it. And the second act, in my opinion, was fantastic. I would have maybe cut out a song or two in the first act, a little tighter, and I would have liked it a little more. But overall, go see it.
Yeah, I really need this Rube from Toledo to tell me how to fix Hamilton. Thanks, pal.
But I'm just saying,
were you looking at your watch?
Look.
Or you say, because the Fox is beautiful.
I had
you
to go to the bathroom, too,
a couple
that's
times.
That's the worst.
No, that's what, do they still, they don't sell beer during the bathroom break.
This might have played into my first act philosophy. We get there. We're going to stop and get some food. Timing-wise, I said, let's just go down there. I had already eaten, of course. My wife was hungry. We go get a couple drinks. She's like, I'm really hungry.
Chuck found the hidden turkey in the fridge.
She's like, how did you eat? I hit all the food.
No, it's funny, because as she was showering, I went to the corner butcher earlier, and I made 4 hot dogs on the grill, ate 2 of them. She didn't want any of them, so I felt good. She was hungry. We go get a couple of drinks. I get a beer. She gets a champagne. She's hungry. They have these pretzels. She's like, I don't want a pretzel. I'm like, they have candy. How about some chocolate-covered raisins? So we get back in line.
Those are called Raisinettes, I believe.
Okay, but they weren't Raisinette brand. We get back in line, and I say, hey, while we're here, the lines are long. We might as well get another drink so we don't have to wait again. So we were the absolute Hoosiers at the Fox, sitting down in our seats about 15 minutes before showtime. I was double-fisting Bud Lights. She was double-fisting champagne because we didn't want to get back in line. And that made me have to go to the bathroom probably too much during the first act, which probably did influence my overall take on the first act.
But if you don't like the show, that's when you just go to the bathroom a lot. Like, stomach's really... And then you go sit at the bar.
Check Fantasy Baseball. Yes. Check Twitter. Check the Matt Carpenter debate. Absolutely.
You missed it. There's this crazy guy down low who kept yelling out, I don't believe in the central bank. You missed the whole... He made a scene and everything. He was wearing a 590 polo.
They were not sitting down low. They were towards the top.
But overall, go see it. It's very good. And some of the songs are just fantastic. And the second act is great. And the Thomas Jefferson character absolutely stole every scene in the second.
And it was actually funny when we went to Urban Chestnut. We met up with a coworker of my dad and her husband. They were like, "Oh, let's meet up afterwards because they're really fun." So that's when we decided to go to Urban Chestnut. My dad and her were debating the central bank and Alexander Hamilton.
Leave it alone
at Urban Chestnut.
By the way, random Brian McKenna has tweeted me a picture of those green bikes.
He texted in as well.
I don't know why he has this available. Like I mentioned, the green bike, they're called Lime bikes, I guess, and it says on there how to Lime, and it tells you how to download the Lime app. There is apparently, Charles, a lock on the back wheel, and you have to lock it back up when you're done. Lock it up, son.
McKenna has a photo and a joke for just about any situation you could possibly find yourself in.
I know we're up against it.
Raccoon walks into a bar. McKenna, what do you got?
I know we're up against it, but we have to get to this real quick because today, the first day of daycare for my three-month-old baby, Janie Mae.
Oh, Kenilwood. Well, no, I thought maybe she could stop by and...
We'll get to that Kenilwood read in a second. But we get these updates on everything going on. So this is the first day.
Did she get a report card, too, like we do at Kenilwood?
Yes. But I've gotten two email updates, and here's one of them. I'm going to read it to you. These come via email, and it says... This is the second one. It says, bathroom update for Janie Mae Marlowe. BM explosive. BM explosive.
Thanks.
And then there's a place where I can actually... It's like Twitter. I can love it. I can say I love it. Like, it's a like button. Look at that.
Are we going to be a little too much of a...
So we have, is Jack Flaherty in Memphis? We have, is Adam Wainwright pitching? Are we going to have body bowel movement updates from your daughter every day?
The first one said BM solid. I'm like, all right. The second one said BM explosive. Hey, she's 3 months old.
I understand that.
She's beautiful.
I think it's all...
She's beautiful.
It's just not something I need to share noon hour.
Charlie told me this.
It's funny.
The entirety before he told me this was, oh, you got some fries there from Kirkwood? Okay, cool. Hey, I got this text earlier today about my daughter. I'm like...
First of all, it's hilarious. Kenny Wallace loved it on Twitter.
I'm going to start sending you updates on mine and see if you find it funny.
I told that to my to my wife and my mother-in-law who are on the email chain. I said, I'm going to start updating you guys on my bathroom visits now.
What's with these rubes that are on earlier? They're talking about lineups and bowel movements. I mean, Dan, how is that a show? By the way, Kenny Wallace, who's all over Twitter, he takes a snapshot of me at like 5:50 yesterday. We ran like a 19-second clip saying, because I had about a 19-second hold of film, I was saying, who won the Richmond race? But my theory was, if you're a passive NASCAR fan, on Sundays, it's usually on Fox.
There are no passive NASCAR fans.
Okay, that's
but go
true.
Ahead.
So I thought, if you're flipping around like, where's the race today? Didn't Kenny say he'd be in Richmond? So I thought it was a Saturday night race on Fox 2, so we'll give a little clip, and Kyle Busch won his third in a row. So that's all it was. It was pretty simple. And Kenny takes a picture of it and tweets out, way to go, Fox 2, Martin Kilquin, for keeping NASCAR fans updated. I mean, it was not exactly an in-depth analysis. And all of these racing people are like, thanks for that. And
I love Kilquin.
Yeah, and I'm like, all of a sudden now, I'm like Gary Gearhead. These guys are loving me, all because Kenny said Martin did a good job.
Pandering.
That's all it took.
I got to say, I'm a little concerned that Charlie feels the need to post the screenshot of his daughter's bowel movement update on Twitter. I'm more concerned that 61 people have liked it.
Yeah. It's hilarious. That's hilarious.
That is deeply concerning.
It's not. It's funny.
Brian McKenna wants you to know that BM Explosive was his nickname in college.
And there we go. See, I told you. What I tell you about a joke for every occasion.
Correct.
Love McKenna.
Let's talk about Kenilwood, Charles.
How about Kenilwood Pet Resort's Invisible Fence brand? And Martin, we have the Invisible Fence brand hooked up at the house. Otis loves it. And also, they have this new location opening today for the grand opening in Chesterfield. They just moved across the plaza to 88 Clarkson Wilson Plaza. This new space has all been renovated, and they are pleased to offer a new larger indoor day camp space. The dogs love day camp, playing around. You can view it from the lobby. Kenilwood has a grand opening all week, all kinds of special activities. Today, Martin, of course, is the ribbon cutting. We already missed that. It was 10:30 in the morning. But then complimentary Yo Pup frozen yogurt treats. Tomorrow, you don't want to miss this, complimentary paw print photographs of the pets. Wednesday, free spa bundle. Thursday, Hollywoof day camp party. Friday, Kenilwood training, alumni day, free day of train and play for alumni, campus tours, group photo, and a treat. Kenilwood Pet Resorts. We've been taking our dog Otis there for 4 years. We have the Invisible Fence brand I love Kenilwood. Grooming, day camp, boarding, they do it all.
Up against it here. Got to take a break. The Midday Grind on 590 The Fan. I don't know if we got any textures. Are you wearing a jacket or a coat today?
We do have some texts.
Do you want to hear Charlie's updates on his daughter's bowel movements?
Can we get that sponsored? Who can sponsor that?
Somebody would sponsor that.
R&R Sanitation, maybe?
Yes. How about, yes.
We want your stinking business.
Porta potty service.
855-282-8255. The Hardline coming your way at the top of the hour. Clearly a lot to get to.